You are listening to This Podcast Could Have Been an Email, presented by Berkshire Community College.
Welcome to our podcast. This podcast could have been an email, BCC's podcast. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Jonah Sykes. Jonah, how are you doing today?
I'm doing okay today. It's 2025. For people listening, this is our second show, and I'm really excited to be here. I'm really excited about this topic, so I have a lot of thoughts. But anyway, I'm excited.
I'm excited, too. I will say that after our first podcast that had a dozen listeners... We did not get any pickles. So those of you who listened to the first podcast and you're still... out there, I think we'd still like the pickles.
And also show us how to make them ourselves so we can tell our spouses. It would be lovely.
So, that would be one. That would be lovely. So today, we have a very exciting couple of guests, and we're going to talk about putting the bees in BCC. So I'm very, very pleased to be joined by Gabriella Sheehan and Colin Wilson. Thank you both for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's fun. Thank you.
So Colin, if you want to tell us who you are, and Gabriel, when he's done, if you want to tell us who you are, that'd be lovely, just so we can get that so people know who they're listening to.
Absolutely. I am the director of the Science Commons here at BCC. My name is Colin Wilson, and that is the premier directorship position at BCC.
It is the premier directorship, yeah.
Out of all the directors.
Wow. That's true. And we're also Duolingo buddies.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute.
I fell off Duolingo, and I'm in deep shame about it.
What language?
I do German.
Oh, yeah. All right.
I do Spanish and Irish.
Oh, very fun.
Interestingly, on our president's cabinet, we have three people who speak German fluently, and then me.
Interesting. Okay, great.
Hi, Gabriella.
Hi, Adam.
How are you doing?
I'm so great. I feel like the shots were fired with the premier directorship comment, but it's okay, because I'm still pretty new, and... I've come to expect this from Colin. So I am the director of TRIO, and I'm loving it. Student services, working with students and programming and coaching and amazing staff and faculty. Happy to be here.
You have wonderful students, too.
Yeah, oh my gosh, the best.
I think the two of you probably cross a number of students.
We do, yeah. As directing the Science Commons, I also direct the STEM Starter Academy, which is... you know, pretty focused in terms of subject matter, but we have a lot of students, and just being very close, we have like two very nice lounge areas on campus. So we get a lot of students who hang out at one and then switch locations to the other and then come back. And
Colin's got the tea and mixed nuts.
Like the gossip tea? Like
he's got all
he's spill the tea?
I think
tea.
He has the hot tea. I think he has all the tea.
All the tea, all right.
He also has all the tea. And then TRIO has, you know, other miscellaneous snacks and then a lot of like the luncheon type of items and coffee. So it kind of depends, like if you are looking for hot tea and salted cashews, you'll go to STEM. And then if you're looking for like cinnamon rolls and sandwiches and latte, you come over to TRIO.
And probably somewhere in there, there's also like student support, right? Where we like help our students succeed, in one of those two areas.
I mean, we support them with food for sure.
They learn how to make tea and coffee for sure.
Great.
All jokes aside, we do know, we did a retention study a few years ago, and the most significant variable if a student would be retained, meaning that they came in their first fall and they were still with us their second fall as a new student, was if they were in TRIO or not. So it's a program that really works, and actually we built our entire success program kind of thinking about TRIO and bringing it to scale. So they do keep you fed, but they think they keep you fed both physically and metaphorically as a student. So the reason that we invited the two of you today is to talk about bees. And before we jump into my questions about bees, those of you who have been around campus for a while know that I started doing this thing early on in my time here where early in the semester I put on these red shoes and you know the concept being that we don't take ourselves too seriously, that we're willing to stick out, and also something memorable about us. And last year, there was a bit of a bee happening on campus, and at some point, Colin got into his full beekeeper suit. I don't remember why I wasn't on campus that day, but I kept on getting text messages of Colin fully dressed in his beekeeper suit with these cool red shoes on. And
yeah, this is like the number one story about bees on campus that people want to know about. So, and that was the day that Gabrielle and I really met to get to know each other.
Well, let's hold that. I think we'll get that into a future segment. And maybe just start out, I actually didn't realize, Gabrielle, until that we scheduled this, that you also were so into bees. So I guess the question of both of you is, what got you into bees in the first place?
Well, for me, it was really like a very weird calling. I've wanted to be a beekeeper for so long. I have no idea why. One of the things that sort of motivated me was, of course, like the environmental impact and the idea that our entire food source, so much of our ecosystem is dependent on bees. And so I kind of wanted to be part of a solution on that. And over time, you know, over the last decade, a lot of people have really gotten into it for that purpose.
It's not just the cool suit.
No. And the suit is cool. That's quote, those air quotes.
No, you do look really cool when you're in it, especially with the
bright
red
shoes. But it's really hot. I mean, it's really hot. It's canvas. So, and you're typically doing these inspections in the summer, and it is like sweltering in there.
It is one of those hobbies with a lot of accessories. So if you like accessories, there's like this and home brewing and candle making, probably.
Yeah. Jonah has spent some time dressed as the Burke mascot in hot July days, walking in parades.
Fourth of July parade.
At some point, maybe we can do like a body check temperature and see which one is hotter.
Burke has a fan in the head built in, so just saying, it is a added benefit.
I mean, definitely no fans.
Sometimes you get swarmed by bees and they are beating their wings so fast, that's sort of a fan.
Yeah. I mean,
but a dangerous lunch.
But I did get into it, and then as I got into it, besides the kind of, you know, altruistic, it ended up just being a really amazing form of meditation after COVID. And when you're in with the hive, it's just like the deepest form of meditation that I have ever experienced, and I really, really enjoy it for that reason.
It's really cool. I think we're ready for a break, and we'll come back. Colin, we'll ask you to kind of dive into your origin story with beekeeping as well.
I'll try not to get distracted by the commercials.
Have you explored the Berkshire Science Commons? The Berkshire Science Commons is a crossroads for science on campus and for the communities we serve. The equipment and space of the Science Commons is a place where scientists and learners can come together to explore, create, and research together. Workspaces within the Science Commons can be reserved for projects, whether they are class assignments, group efforts, or personal design projects. Reservations are recommended to avoid a workspace being occupied when you arrive to use it. Don't miss the beekeeping at BCC with the State of the Hive blog. BCC has started keeping bees on one of our building roofs, exploring the relationship between animal populations and the local ecosystem. Learn more on the Berkshire Science Commons website and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Again, we are here with Gabriella Sheehan and Colin Wilson talking about putting the bees in BCC. I think I've caught on to the buzz thing. So, Colin, we kind of ended the first segment with Gabrielle telling us how she got into beekeeping. How did you do it?
Well, I feel like her story was really meditative and, like, you know, a spiritual calling. And mine's a lot more pragmatic. My dad is retired and cannot sit still and gets, like, 1,000 different hobbies, and one of them was beekeeping. So I helped him with his hives, extracting honey, taking on large amounts of honey when he found himself with too many and was handing it out. So I had that background, and then Frank Shakur, the dean of STEM and business, said that the college had some hives, and would I be interested in helping to set those up? And as anyone who works at BCC knows, saying yes, I'll help set it up eventually within a month meant that I was running them. So I was handling them. We located them on Kusevitsky roof after talking a couple different locations. And, you know, I'd had some experience, but I really got into it after that and so started getting these meditative experiences that Gab was talking about, that, you know, you working with the hives, when you lift off the top and you hear like the change in tone of the buzzing, you can see them going in and out. You get to like see their little lives going on. You start to feel for these bugs, especially when you are, you know, pulling out a frame and you like go in or rifling through their homes. You start to feel guilty about it.
I don't feel guilty about it.
Do either of you feel a sense of fear going into it and any part of it as you're, whether you're, as you're donning the outfit or knowing what to experience?
I mean, it's really a great question. That's a great question because people are afraid of bees.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'm afraid of bees. Now, granted, I'm kind of afraid of everything, but I'm
but not dogs. Ladies and gentlemen, Adam Klapitar is not afraid of dogs. In fact, he loves them and he has a new dog. So right. Let's dispel that myth right now.
Yeah.
Moving on. Sorry.
It really depends. You know, there are different types of bees. And so a lot of beekeepers have Italian honeybees and they're supposed to be a little bit more docile. And then you can also have Russian honeybees. And the truth is that they're supposed to be more aggressive and people are like more scared of those types of hives.
Right.
I have to say, like, I've had different hives, different colonies of Italians, and the ones that I had most recently, I wasn't afraid at all. I was just like, I'm not afraid of bees. And I certainly with the suit, like I don't have any fear whatsoever, but this hive was really aggressive. And so I'll go in there and they just like, they zoom in and they're, you know, hitting you in the face with, you know, you have your screen, but they're, you can hear them just going toot, 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 toot. And it can be a little bit jarring when they're that aggressive.
Do you have visibility issues? I mean, I just feel like does a swarm ever impact your ability to see if they're acting like that?
No. I think it kind of depends. Like if you go in on a cloudy day, when it's overcast, they're going to be very, very angry. And so you have to really choose your timing, and it depends on the queen, if they requeen, if their queen's
always
really aggressive.
Depends on the queen, right?
Always.
So, yeah.
The thing I like least is they don't really swarm the mass so much that you can't see. You don't get a lot of peripheral vision, but they don't really do that, but they will come and land on the mask, and they're right up at your eyes. You can see them very clearly, and they're like stabbing the little stinger through all the holes in your mask trying to get at you. Mm-hmm. I don't appreciate that. But Jonah, when I was
this
starting,
sounds like a lovely hobby.
It's, you know,
that's nightmare fuel for me. But okay.
The thing is, it's you're all covered up. So after you do it a couple times, you feel a little better. But I took some advice. Somebody said like, well, you know, if you listen to relaxing music or something. So I listened to a band that I like that I don't listen to like every day, and it's like my bee music. And so I put in my AirPods and we'll play that.
It's Creed.
And that
is it
was
Creed?
Like a no. Yeah, it was
it's
Creed.
Creed. Yeah,
okay. Creed. Little System of a Down.
Perfect. Yeah.
And no, it was Iron and Wine.
Oh, okay.
Who I really
yeah.
like,
yeah,
but
okay.
I liked more like two decades ago, and it was sort of rediscovering. I listened to them, and they're calming. And it was sort of a musical cue to get in the mood. So I would, and now whenever I listen to them, I think about bees. So it works in reverse too. but yeah, you feel as long as I have my gear on, I feel fine. When I then get kind of cavalier, and so I got stung a couple times. And the other thing too is that once you start getting stung, it's a runaway effect because one of the things that happens with bees, their stinger, you know, comes out. People have heard that, and so it is a little grisly up close. There, it really don't survive. But one of the things that gets left behind with the stinger is a little pheromone organ that sprays attack pheromones, like come get this thing. It attacked us.
Oh, so more bees come.
So when you get stung, more come, and I don't feel it. It just sticks in the canvas of the suit. But as I get stung, the more bees come, and we have three hives. So once I get to the third one, as soon as I walk up, they smell, that attack this person, smell.
Do they regrow their stingers?
They don't.
So that bee has stung your suit as if, like, I got you. But in reality, you're like, well, have a nice life.
Well,
that's
in
it
my,
for you, bud.
Bees, the worker bees.
I think it's the end of life, right?
Yeah, that's the end of them.
Oh, wow, okay.
The worker bees only last, like an old worker bee is like 3 or 4 weeks old.
They didn't unionize.
They have that turnover so they don't get that sort of organization.
Yeah.
That one got Adam.
Sorry.
And, one thing I always tell people when talking about this is that, like, you know, beehives are incredible, and they're incredible super organisms. They problem solve. They will build anywhere and adapt their structure to any kind of shape. they have air conditioning, they have you know, different roles, they have like an undertaker service that gets rid of the dead bees.
Oh wow.
It's an incredible system, and bees are so dumb. They're the dumbest things. And individually, they just follow chemical cues. So they do not really think, and you can fool them easily. If you take a pheromone and paint it as like a, this is food, then you could paint it on a rock, and they'd start swarming that rock, trying to carry it back to their hive, because they're so dumb. But the hive itself has this incredible communication system. And so it's really smart, and the bees are dumb.
Colin, I honestly... The more you and Gabriella talk, the more I realize how little I know about bees.
Same.
And I'm curious. We're about to go into break. Is there anything, and maybe this is a good tease into the next segment, but are there interesting things about our colony or colonies? It sounds like we have three mm-hmm. colonies. I think maybe when we get back from break, we could kind of talk about what is unique about the BCC bees.
Yeah, we have a couple of unique things about us, and also some unique regional things about beekeeping.
Great. So don't go away. We'll be right back after this message from Jonah.
Do you know of any students who might be interested in joining the Student Affairs and Enrollment Management Advisory Committee? The Student Affairs and Enrollment Management Advisory Group is a committee of students who will work directly with the Vice President of Student Affairs and Enrollment Management to make sure the college is fully considering the student voice in decisions that are made that affect students, including how we deploy resources to positively impact student success and equity and to positively impact the community. In this forum, the Vice President will bring questions to the group for their feedback and also ask that members bring student issues forward that the administration may be unaware of. Learn more on the Student Affairs and Enrollment Management Advisory webpage on the BCC website and share with your students.
All right, welcome back. So when we left our last segment, Colin, you were going to tell us a little bit about, or Colin and Gabrielle, you were going to tell us about the unique nature of the BCC bee colonies.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of stuff in the area that is tied to beekeeping. One of the like the hive design that everyone uses, it was made in Greenfield, Mass. It was perfected there and sort of spread from there.
Like when you say everywhere, you mean like everywhere?
Everyone everywhere. If you've seen a beehive and it's that box shape,
yeah,
that's the Langstroth design that L.L. Langstroth in Greenfield, Mass. Developed.
Wow.
Based on some like Swiss rudimentary designs, and he really like took off, and it's everywhere now. But you know, we have those here, and I think that's a cool connection, and there's definitely a healthy beekeeping population. But I think the most unique thing is we started off this past season with two hives, and we ended up with three hives, sort of by happenstance, because we lucked into a third.
What was that happenstance?
Yes, it's so exciting. It's like literally, it was, I think, my second day on the job.
Wait, yeah. Is this part of that whole situation?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is why people have stayed tuned in is for this moment.
Right.
This is
what
this
happened
is the climax
in fall 2024.
So before you jump into that story,
we have a commercial break.
Hot honey is like really popular right now. Are those like hot bees? I'm just kidding.
And pause for edit. No kidding.
He's been planning that, you guys.
Yeah, I know.
He's been planning that.
All right. I want to. No, we really do want to hear about this. The infamous day.
Yeah, so it was August 28th.
Oh, wait, it was August 28th?
Mm-hmm.
I forgot that it was August 28th. That's my birthday.
Yeah, it was on Colin's birthday. Mm-hmm. And
man, you are a good sport.
That's what I wanted to be doing.
We were in the midst of orientation, lots of people on campus, walking around, everybody stationed outside. And I was stationed outside in the back. Near the parking lot, and I was walking with Jess Pemble from Workforce, mm-hmm. and we saw this big cloud of insects. And she's like, "Wow, what is that?" And I said, "Oh, I don't know." So I tried to get a little bit closer, and
as one does when they see a swarm of insects.
Well, in my heart, I was like, "Please be the bees, because that would be so cool." And so, so I tried to get closer, and sure enough, you know, one of them landed on one of the Adirondack chairs, and I looked, and it was a honeybee. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's a swarm. And so she's like, someone needs to go tell Colin. So she ran and went to tell Colin.
I was in my, so one of the things with the hives too is there's a Bmail list that everyone could sign up for. If you go to the Science Commons page, there's a link to sign up for it. And I was writing the Bmail for that week. And it was sort of the middle of the summer. I'd gone through a lot of the topics I wanted to cover. And I was like, well, I guess I'll talk about this one. And so I was sort of thinking, how could I make this more interesting? And Jess Pemble breaks into my office and says, have you heard about the bees? And I was like, yes, I manage the bees, Jess. No, have you heard about the bees outside?
You know how Batman has that light that the commissioner can shine? Maybe we need to get Ellen, like something that she puts up that looks like a bee, and then Colin just jumps into action.
I have to say, Krista Gray, who was a great facilities manager, made one for me, but the bees are much smaller than a bat, so you can hardly see it. It just looks like a big circle. There's no. But anyway, so Jess said, you know, you got to go outside. And I said, realized, I think this is a swarm. So I grab my stuff. I start heading out. And Gabriella comes in, and we'd met before, but not really talked. But you came in, and you met me and said, like, there's bees outside. Do you want any help? And I said, I got it. I'm fine. I'd, seen YouTube videos. I knew how to sort of catch a swarm and do it.
But had you stayed at a Holiday Inn Express the night before?
I know. And but what I did not want to do was to babysit somebody while I was trying to figure out how to do this. And so I said, no. And then Gab said, okay, because I raise bees at home. And I said, oh, thank God. Okay, yes, please come with me. I don't know what I'm doing.
And I was like, okay, so here's the deal. I've seen this done on TV, but I've never done it myself. And he's like, oh, yeah, me too. And so
this actually reminds me of our thing. We were part of a group together, and we were supposed to solve this like outdoor adventure.
Oh yeah,
and she and Gabriella, were you part of our group too?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
No, I was on the other team.
Gabriella was like, I've watched this show, so we should do it this way. And the rest of us were like, no, we wouldn't do it. And then at the end, it turned. She was like, almost 100% right.
All 100% right.
The incredible amount of media that I consume has made me an expert on a lot of things.
I really hope the show was like Lost, and it was just like not a survival show.
It was Survivor Man. Okay. It was Survivor Man.
So full disclosure, as PIO, Public Information Officer, I was called to the scene by Ellis Richardson, our Director of Safety and Security, because he was like, there's something happening outside and it's not okay. And he's standing 150 feet away from the tree with which there is a mound of, I don't know how many, but hundreds and hundreds of these. It's like a globular mass all up and down the tree. And I'm not that squirmish around insects, but it was disgusting to look at. It was really gross.
It's like a pile of bubbles because there's like bees on bees, and so they're all shifting and sort of.
And there were so many of them. And so we created
Is there a sound too? Like a.
Yeah, they were buzzing. Oh, yeah. They were buzzing.
And
yeah.
So we created this perimeter with some caution tape that didn't work because both Daryl Shreve and I both got stung repeatedly.
Everybody
and so did Dave
was
Moran.
Stung. It was like mayhem. People were getting stung left and right.
So bees. They don't understand caution.
They don't understand. They can't read caution.
These were either Russian or Italian bees. They could not read.
They could not read it. Yeah,
makes
exactly.
sense. Maybe they could join our Duolingo group.
There you go.
It's all for a full circle on this.
So we have video and we have video and photos and we've shared this. I have a whole album on OneDrive just called Bees! Exclamation point, and it's the two of you dressed up in full head to tail bee suits.
Yeah.
And the whole process.
I wouldn't say full though, Jonah. I had my loafers on.
Oh, you did.
So my feet were exposed.
I had my red shoes on, which didn't quite cover my ankles.
But you get stung?
No.
I got stung, but not there. I got
it's
stung when
he's
I...
because a novice.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I got stung later. So I talked about the attack pheromones. After all this, I had like stingers all over my suit. And I went up to our hives, which are normally pretty well behaved. But I smelled like, I don't know, like a serial killer or something. And so they really came after me and I got stung then. But yeah, the pictures I really love, Jonah, are the ones where we're like planning out, which... You know, it's like me standing and pointing and Gabriella nodding and we're sort of having this conference.
Uh-huh.
And you know now that we are saying like, you know, so we, what did you see on the TikTok that you watched?
And okay,
so
everyone like frame this, like the two of you are like bee experts.
I was like, stand down, Ellis, we got this. So do we need like a box or something? I guess we need a box.
I'm like, yeah. Oh, and so we go out there, we shake the bees off of the branches into this box and we're... We're trying to find the queen. Once you get the queen in the box, all the other bees will go wherever the queen is. So it's, if you can get her and locate her and put her in a place, everybody will follow her. And
it's kind of like Trio.
Yeah, I mean, 100% exactly the same. And so so we are trying to find the queen, and there are all these mounds, and some of them are up really high, and we can't reach them. And so we go down, and there's just bees everywhere. Like, you know, you're in this cloud of bees, and they're crawling all over, and it's so beautiful because they have these little vibrations. And so when they're covering you, it's just kind of like a really gentle vibrating massage, and it's just it's amazing. And if you watch this Texas bee lady, she's always like just scooping them with her hands, and you know, it's there's a reason for that. It's really meditative. But anyway,
you're going to put Canyon Ranch out of business.
Yes, with the bee therapy. But in any case, so
we're going to take the super quickest break ever, I promise you. We're going to come right back to hear our final thoughts on all things bees. So please stick with us. We're going to be right back. You're going to hear another commercial from me. I hope you enjoy it. Okay.
Trio Student Support Services is excited to welcome a new director to campus, and they're ready to get rolling in recruitment this spring. Trio is nearly at capacity, but there's still room for more students who meet their eligibility requirements for support, like students from first generation, low-income backgrounds, and students with disabilities. Trio is hoping instructors will be willing to help continue recruitment and do in-class presentations. Their goal this semester is to increase programming and offer a robust variety of engagement, like quick, fun meets, more involvement for our off-campus students, more cultural field trips and college tours, and inviting community experts to come and chat with us on campus. Learn more at berkshirecc.edu/trio today.
All right, welcome back. You know, this has been a really great conversation, and one of the things I'm really struck by is Tom Tining always talks about one of the great assets of this particular community college is where we're situated and how the land is part of the classroom experience, and it feels like this story and what you've been talking about really connects well to that sentiment. Does that kind of jive with your experience?
I think so. You know, in sort of small ways that we have these hives, they are... lupin, coneflower, and honeysuckle are the names of the three hives. Honeysuckle is the one that we rescued. And, you know, people like getting the bee mail list, and it's just sort of it's nice that we have this community. But also, you know, people learn things like they ask questions about what's a bee lifestyle cycle like? Why did this swarm come in? You know, I think it might have come from either somebody's beekeeping swarm or from the Pittsfield State Forest. And people say, well, how close were you to the Pittsfield State Forest? And, you know, well, how big is the campus? And, you know, all these things when you sort of get that more expansive view of BCC itself with a project like this.
Yeah. I also thought it was a really amazing way to build community. And, again, like I was so new at that time that I had no idea that particular spot of the quad – literally, you can view it from everywhere. Everybody's windows just kind of go out. And afterwards, people were like, we were watching the whole time.
Yeah.
And it's just like a really nice way to get everybody involved.
Well, and even just the two of you went from being acquaintances to whatever you
are now.
Best friends forever.
Best friends forever. BFF with two E's.
That's very well played.
No, BFF with two E's is beef. That's not what we want.
No, you don't. Yeah.
So this is probably a really silly question. Do our hives produce honey?
Usually with a hive, when you start a hive, you want to let it sort of establish over the first year. So they're overwintering now. I got them snuggled up in blankets, and so they're quiet and hopefully happy. And then when in their second year, we'd be able to get honey from them.
Well, great. Colin, just one more time in case people missed it earlier, if they're interested in getting on the listserv, what are the details and how do you get signed up for it?
The bee tails.
The bee tails of the bee mail. If you go to the Berkshire Science Commons page on the BCC site, then you can click and sign up to be on the email list. And there's also a list to a blog that I was writing. And so the blog gets updated like every month or so. And the bee mail list is every other week, or sometimes I'll send a couple quickly when something big happens. So you can sort of pick how often you want to hear about things.
It's really great, too. It ties into Linda Mary often will talk to about the cliff swallows, for instance, on campus, right? So just knowing that there's these things happening around campus or the environmental science space. And then just knowing as well, after I always ask Tom about before I visit the Ralph Hoffman Environmental Center, are there rattlesnakes in the greenhouse? And often there are. So just knowing that, like, it's a living campus and there's opportunities to engage with those experiences firsthand, the B-mail as a way to, like, just stay informed past the very dramatic moment. I will say that dramatic moment, I was closing my windows to the outside, so no bees got into our offices, but we were all watching from the second floor field. So it was pretty incredible. So.
Well, it was wonderful having both of you on our podcast this time. And I think one of the great things about this is learning about passions that people have and some of the really cool things that we can get involved in when we work at a college. But these are two of our leaders in terms of initiatives around student success. And I hope maybe in the future we can have you back and talk a little bit more about your work. But I think, you know, Jonah and I really appreciated having you on today.
We did indeed. We'll have you both on in the very near future. And for everyone listening, thank you so much for participating in this podcast, Could Have Been an Email, Episode 2. And we hope you have a lovely rest of your day.
Yeah, and as always, if you have topics or passions or things that you think the community might want to hear about, give us a shout. And we'd love to have you on as a guest or one of your colleagues that you know is doing something pretty cool.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Buzz.
Special thanks for today's episode goes to Adam Klepetar, Vice President of Student Affairs and Enrollment Management, Colin Wilson, Director of the Berkshire Science Commons, and Gabriella Sheehan, Director of TRIO. Additional special thanks goes to Alzi Mercado, Technical Director at BCC, and Dave Cachet at PCTV and WTBR for hosting our podcast on all of the podcasting platforms like Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, Pandora, SoundCloud, and more. And as always, thanks to you, dear listener, for taking the time to listen to this podcast that could have been an email. Please feel free to share your thoughts or ideas or to offer any future show ideas by emailing me at jsykes@berkshirecc.edu. My name is Jonah Sykes, and I am grateful for you.